Please don't pass. Stop, look at me. I'm so much more than what you see. Deep inside, a new something, I'm blooming. I'm blooming, 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 going on in me. Growing towards what I can be, a blooming going on in me. Blooming. I think it's Sadie. Sadie? Sadie! Hi! Do you have a hangdog look?
See? You think I'm ugly too?
Huh?
You just said I looked like a dog.
No, sweetie. Hangdog. It's a saying. It just means you look sad.
Why don't you just say it? I'm ugly.
Huh. Come on. Come sit over here with me. Sadie, what happened today?
Tommy Baxter said I had Dumbo ears.
That's all?
All? He's only the most popular boy in class. He called me ugly. I might as well run away to China.
China?
Well, you see, I have small feet. And in China...
Girls with Dumbo ears and tiny feet are what's in.
Not exactly. But I'm reading this book about this girl in China. And she was considered very beautiful because she had tiny feet.
Oh, you're joking, right?
Mostly.
Sadie. Ears, feet, noses, fingers, belly buttons. I mean, who cares what they look like?
Everyone.
No, sweetie. Let me tell you. You have something better than any of those things.
There's nothing better than being pretty.
Oh, yeah? Well, what you got between those gigantic, titan, mammoth ears, it is better than anything else. Sadie, you're a thinker. And that's a very good thing to be.
Great. Will it keep Tommy Baxter from teasing me?
A girl with a good head like yours can change the fate of nations. So I don't think Tommy Baxter's really going to be much of a challenge.
Honest?
Honest. Hey, you're probably another Yen Li, only you got ears instead of feet.
Huh?
Ha. You just listen. Because Yen Li was a peasant, a girl, and had long, wide feet. She was considered to be of little worth. But still her father, a poor farmer from the Hunan province, he could not bring himself to sell her for a bride price. He would say, Yen Li, your wisdom fills my belly. And hungry is what the whole family was, because the greater portion of their rice crop went for the mandarin's taxes. Now, it was well known that the wealthier the mandarin, the longer his nails, and the peasant's taxes had allowed this mandarin's nails to grow like long, curving claws. His days were spent having his nails groomed, counting his money, and sharpening his wits by thinking up riddles. Well, one day, when no one in his household could give him a satisfactory answer to one of his riddles, his nails quivered with frustration. Dull, dull, dull. I am surrounded by dullards. Let a reward be given to any man in the province who can tell me what is the fastest thing in the world. Well, the mandarin's challenge, like the scent of hope, spread quickly over the province, and many men brought him answers. They said a quick horse, a bird, a river. Pff. The mandarin considered these answers so pedestrian, he didn't even bother to raise his eyes from a small hangnail he was inspecting. Other men offered a fire, the wind, an ocean wave. These actually brought a half smile to his face. None, however, caught his imagination. Yen Li? She waited patiently for 2 days, and on the third she went to her father with an answer and added, If it is to his liking, and the mandarin asks you what your reward shall be, say nothing. But Yen Li, we need so much. Father, in patience we shall multiply our reward. Well, the farmer, standing humbly in the mandarin's court, was aware of the women's tiny feet. Broken in childhood, bound by strappings and encased in silken slippers, they were considered of great worth. The mandarin allowed himself to be fully groomed before he addressed the farmer.
Well, your honor.
Yen Li's father never looked up. The fastest thing in the world is thought. Human thought.
Oh, the mandarin's nails jiggled with a giddy laugh. This poor farmer has wit. What shall be your prize, then?
Remembering his daughter's words, he replied, Nothing, your honor. And he backed respectfully out of the court.
This is an excellent game. It gives me great pleasure and costs nothing. Next riddle. What is the sweetest thing in the world?
And again the citizens of the province all came with answers. But Yen Li equipped her father with one that was bright and wise.
Oh, it is my humble farmer. Well, what is the sweetest thing in the world?
Your honor, the sweetest thing in the world is sleep, for without it, you can appreciate nothing else.
The mandarin was tipsy with joy. He chuckled aloud and spilled lacquer all over one of his bound-footed manicurists. Your prize, then, farmer?
But again, Yen Li's father begged for nothing. Now, a third riddle brought out every man in the province.
What is the saddest thing in the world?
You see, everyone had suffered. But the mandarin, who had suffered little, yawned through the answers. A bad crop, a sick child, cattle disease, a lost love. Puh! When the poor farmer arrived, the mandarin was ready for him.
Here's the one wise man in my kingdom. Come, illuminate these fools. What is the saddest thing in the world?
He flicked a piece of lint from behind his long, curving nail, and a bound-footed woman shuffled over to sweep it up.
Your honor, many things are sad and can be repaired. A bad crop can turn to good in the next season. A new love can replace the lost one. A sick child can regain health. But a broken heart can never be mended and must be lived with all your days. It is the saddest of all things.
The mandarin was clicking his long claw-like nail against the carved wood of the chair.
You are wise, very wise, and yet you ask for nothing. Your family must be poor. My taxes are high. So tell me, farmer, how much does your family need to eat well?
The poor farmer, he began to stammer. Well, what would Yen Li say? Seeing his hesitation, the mandarin knew immediately that the farmer was a fraud. He pointed one long, vibrating claw at him.
Farmer, tell me, who answered my riddles, and speak with simple truth, or your family will lack one father.
Well, the farmer, hoping to protect his daughter, stammered, My eldest. You see, he couldn't say it was a girl. A girl seen in the capital city in front of the mandarin, where she could be caned, beaten, imprisoned. Girls had to remain hidden.
Why did your eldest not come to me himself?
My eldest, your honor, is very shy. Undeterred, the mandarin ordered,
Your eldest shall appear to me tomorrow.
Tell him he must come when it is neither day or night. He should arrive neither walking or riding, and he shall bring me a gift.
Which is not really a gift. Good, good. Be gone.
Yen Li's father was distraught. Oh, father, no joy. All my life I have cursed my large feet, but now they will be my salvation. I shall dress as a boy with a wide bamboo hat to shadow my face, and these huge peasant feet jutting out from my poor cloth pants. None will suspect me.
But Yin Li, what of the riddles?
Oh, father. And her laugh, deep and steady as her feet, let him know they had already been solved.
At sunrise, the water carriers of the Mandarin's court greeted the young traveler with laughter. The Mandarin boomed from his bed.
Hey, what is the commotion?
Yin Li rode towards him in the dawn, that mist between day and night. She was on the back of a large pig, so her feet were dragging in the dirt, neither walking or riding. A small box was perched on her shoulder, and when she saw the Mandarin, from beneath the wide brim of her hat, she called out in her deepest voice,
"A gift for you, honorable sir!"
She lifted the lid, and a canary flew towards the Mandarin and then up and away into the morning light.
Ha! His requirements fulfilled, the Mandarin's nails tinkled against one another, and he commanded that the boy be brought into his courtyard.
As Yin Li was kept waiting, her heart went out to the tiny, bent, bound women who shuffled about feeding and dressing the Mandarin until,
"Ooh, eldest son of the farmer, come, come, tell me, how much does your family need to eat well?"
Now she did not hesitate.
"One grain of rice, your honor."
"Think carefully, for your answer shall be your reward."
"One grain of rice will be sufficient."
The Mandarin's body quivered with delight.
"And you are the wisest in your family. No wonder peasants starve. It will dishonor me to give you so little. Ask for more."
"If you insist, your honor, then give me a simple grain of rice and double its amount each day for, say, 100 days, if it pleases you."
"It pleases me to part with so little. Go home to your mud cottage, foolish son."
On the first day, a single grain of rice arrived on a silken pillow. And for many days thereafter, 2, 4, 8, 16, and 32 grains all arrived in the same way.
"Well, daughter, we are still hungry, but the mud cottage is much prettier with the cushions."
On day 10, 512 grains were delivered in a porcelain bowl, and the farmer smiled.
"I am beginning to understand better how patience can multiply your rewards."
By the 13th day, 8,192 grains had to be put in an urn, which the family admired as they ate heartily for the first time in years. On the 15th day, 32,768 grains of rice were delivered to the poor farmer in a lovely wood-carved chest that they would use to store the new clothes they had just purchased, well, with the profits from a rice sale. The Mandarin watched the rice drain from his household. By the 18th day, 262,144 grains were being taken by cart to this foolish eldest son.
Bring me my abacus.
His long claws worked clumsily until he figured out, oh dear, by day 21,048,576 grains, my entire personal stock of rice. I cannot lose face to a farmer's son.
Early taxes shall be collected.
By day 23, 8,388,608 grains of rice were delivered by elephant to the now lovely wood-framed home of the poor farmer. Well, since rice was suddenly so scarce, its value had increased. The father smiled at his eldest daughter and said with confidence, "Yes, patience certainly does multiply your rewards." And they made room in their newly built storehouse for the fresh shipment.
Oh dear, by tomorrow, the 30th day, I will owe this boy 1,073,741,824 grains, I think. My province will be drained. By the 40th day, The debt I owe will equal more rice than China holds. Have the poor farmer's wise son brought to me.
Yen Li arrived at the Mandarin's court in full daylight. Her large feet, now encased in leather sandals, pushed out from silken pant bottoms. She was not kept waiting.
Tell me, eldest son of a poor, hard-working farmer, what does your family need to eat well?
He wanted her to change her answer, so he could save face and everyone would still have rice. From beneath her hat, she saw the broken edges of the Mandarin's nails, his thinning frame and drawn face. Yen Li was satisfied to know that he would soon look like a peasant. What ached her heart were the women of the court. The back pain that resulted from years of bound feet was now compounded by hunger. It was for them and their children that she altered her answer.
Your Honor, they need to eat that which they grow. All of it.
The Mandarin was thrilled. He had but to give this farmer his land and take no rice in taxes. Unfortunately for him, though, Yen Li continued,
Your Honor, my father and all peasants need this. Only then will we all eat well.
The Mandarin watched his life pass before him. Well, if each peasant owned his own land, then the Mandarin could not require over half their harvest for taxes. And yet, there was no choice. A bargain was struck, and Yen Li, the poor farmer's eldest son, backed humbly out of the Mandarin's court. The farmers rejoiced. Their families ate the rice they grew. Yen Li, she never was sold for a bride price by her father. You are worth 5 sons to me, daughter. And she lived her life as she determined it should be. Well, with no rice pouring in from the farmers, he was forced to clip his long claws, tuck in his silken pants, and build mud flats for rice tubers. He so hated working, as the bound-footed women watched, he made a new radical proclamation.
No more shall girls have their toes broken and feet bound. Shuffling women with curved backs cannot work in the rice paddies.
And so a quiet cheer went up from half of Hunan. And it was with that cheer that the women of this province, with great joy and new freedom, inherited Yen Li's.
See, back then in China, everyone thought tiny feet were the most beautiful thing a girl could have.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that way. Oh, like here, how we all think tiny ears are a sign of true beauty.
Quit teasing me.
Sadie, what's more important, the ears or what you got between them?
Yeah, okay. But nobody can see my brain.
Eventually, they can.
How do you know?
'Cause I was your age. No one ever knew what was going on inside of me. You see, I wasn't school smart, so my family didn't have any great expectations for me. My mother used to say,
When you grow up, young lady, you can be a secretary, or a teacher, or a nurse.
That was it?
That was it. I thought that's all a girl could be, especially one who wasn't very pretty or school smart.
But you're a great storyteller, and you write stories, and they're published, and you've won awards.
Oh, I know. But when I was your age, I thought secretary was it. Well, I wouldn't be the first girl to break that mold. Have you ever heard of Lucy Stone?
I know there's a school named after her in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Her whole family thought she should teach elementary school, then get married and have 12 children. Hoo-hoo. She took a different path, all right.
Years hence, what a change will be made in politics, morals, religion, and trade, in statesmen who wrangle or ride on the fence. These things hence, 100 years hence.